Well, I was very much encouraged this week, and I want to encourage you. Despite our finances, God has a plan. He's going to do something. I'm excited about what he's going to do. I have no idea what he wants to do, but he gave me some really this last week, some direction I feel for our church. And in the upcoming weeks, I want to start unfolding some of those issues, not issues, but one of those things that we want to build within our church that I feel is missing, but we need to build and make a stronger foundation for our church. But we've been going through, over the last couple months, we've been going over the book of Ephesians. And we were talking about the gifts. Last week, we talked about the gifts of God's grace. The gift of God's grace. Again, what is grace? Acronym is GRACE. God's riches at Christ's expense. So if I was to come to you and I was to come over to Joey and say, Joey, here's $1 million. Joey might pretend she doesn't want it for a second, but I bet you she'll take it. I would take it. So God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We've been talking about some of the incredible riches of God's grace. He showers us with his grace, his riches, for those who know him, his riches. Through grace, he what? Saved us. Through grace, he chose us. Just think, he chose us. Through grace, he adopted us. Through grace, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Through grace, we became part of a family, the body of Christ, the church. Through grace, he showers us with gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. I talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit last week. It is my intention today, it was my intention today, to talk about not only the gifts of God's grace, but to talk about the stewardship of God's grace. But Lord willing, I'll talk about that next week. I felt challenged this week at district conference that there's an area that I really believe that we need to spend some time in. Because before we can understand God's grace and experience God's grace and be delivered from addiction, delivered from things in our lives, we need to know something this morning. And I believe it's some tool that we need to make part of our lives for us to be able to access the riches of God and to access victory in areas of our lives. So we're going to talk about that today. Because for us to continue in Ephesians, how do we dig into God's riches? How do we get tapped in? How do we experience the things that God wants us to experience? And that's why I feel we need to take not a detour, but it'll be reaffirming what we're going through the book of Acts. If it's true, we're saved. Okay? Do you guys believe you're saved? Do you believe Jesus saved you? If we believe that we're saved, if we believe that we're adopted, if we believe that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, if we believe that we're part of his church, if we believe that he showers us with gifts, why do we walk around like beggars when we should be walking around as royalty and rich people in his kingdom? I'm not talking about physical riches, but spiritual riches. Should we not be walking up with our head high? He saved me. He adopted me. He sealed me with the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Oh my God, my life's not very good. I don't like this in my life. And we walk around defeated. Why? There's riches ours. There's riches. We should be together. That's awesome. When you have riches, you want to go spend it. When my wife and I have extra money, we love to spend it. Don't you? When you don't have to worry about the bills that are always looming. Woohoo, what am I going to do with this? But we're walking around with riches in our pockets. Riches because we know him, and we're clothed with rags. Why? Why are we that way? Why? Just think about, we are daughters and sons of God. Before the world existed, Crystal. Before this earth, before everything, Crystal was on God's mind, and he chose her. You know Jesus today? He chose you before the world existed. He thought, oh, Misty, I have a plan for her life before the world existed. That's exciting. Don't you love when someone thinks about you? When you fell in love with someone and they're thinking about you and they say, oh, I thought about you today. Yeah. God thinks about us. Before the world existed, it says he chose us before the world existed to be holy, to be for him, to live for him. Think about it. He's chosen us. And not only that, after he saved us and he had chose us, he adopted us. We were orphans, spiritual orphans, and he adopted us. He says, come on in. Not only that, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to do my spirit is going to come and live in you. You will become my temple. You know this church right here? It's a church building. It's not God's temple. You are God's temple. God dwells in you. The God of the universe that says that his presence can't contain in an earthly temple because he's too great. But he says, I'm going to put me in you. My temple's in you. Awesome. God's in me. So when I go outside today of the church, he's with me. I'm his temple. I'm his temple. I'm walking around. When the people see me, I'm his temple. And not only did he make us his temple, he brought us into a church, into a universal church. That's not this building, is not the church. We are the church. You and I are the church. And we live the church here, and we live the church in our work. We live the church wherever we go, because when you leave here, the church just leaves, in one sense, because you're the church. And we come together, and we gather, and we worship, and God allows us to do that. That's the church. That's all ours, you guys. Should that excite us, a church? And then God gives us these incredible gifts. Everyone here, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's given you gifts. Like I talked about my gift last week, one of my gifts, my wife's joint gift, is gift of hospitality. We love to serve and have people in and fatten them up and talk about God. Some have the gift of serving is a spiritual gift. A gift of some person that has teaching, leadership is a spiritual gift. Serving in the children's church is a spiritual gift. He gives us all these gifts, and it's not for us. It's for each other. It's for the church. It's not for this building. It's for us. And as we live that out, then we go out into the world, and we use our gifts that God's given us in the world, and we touch people, and the church grows. That's who we are. Yet why are we walking around like beggars? Why? I believe the answer is simple, not easy, simple, but very true. How do we access the riches? How do we learn about our spiritual gifts? How do we gain victory over addiction, victory over things in our life that we know is not pleasing to God, but we struggle, and it's like hitting a wall over? What do we do? I believe, and I was challenged with this during this week at district conference, the reason we don't access the riches of God and we don't live as rich in royalty is because we don't encounter God on a daily basis. Church on Sundays, which really is kind of like church on Sundays, it's like going in and putting into the gas tank $5 to get you through the week. Does that work? No. But that's what Christians do. We want to get by on this little bit of gas, or we go to the gym and go, okay, I could totally see Scott going, and I'm going to get buffed up, and he goes to the gym for 5 minutes. And I'm going to get that. I do. I work every day. 5 minutes. Woo-hoo! No. Well, you might hurt a little bit quickly, but we just put a little bit in. We need to encounter God for ourselves daily, to come into his presence, because he alone changes us. He alone can transform our lives. We need a God encounter on a daily basis, a God encounter. We get so busy with our lives, we get so busy with our jobs and families and struggles. We come to church occasionally. We get lost in the bustle of life, and we lose sight of our Savior, Jesus. So we're lost, depressed, hopeless, because we have lost sight of him. So what do we do? How do we keep an intimate connection with our Lord so that we can overcome sin in our lives? We need, as I said before, a God encounter. We need to encounter Him daily. And the primary way to do this is for you to spend time with Him and allowing Him to fuel you up. And I really think that even when God fuels us up, depends, different seasons of life, He doesn't also fill us the full tank. Sometimes it feels like it. But he fills up just because He knows what we need that day. And then we go the next day. It's okay, I know everything this day is going to happen. You trust, you came to me. Oh, here. This is just what you're going to need. But we don't. We're too busy. We don't have time. We're starving. We're starving spiritually. Sunday mornings is not enough. That's why I'm so huge in small groups. At least that gets another night where you can be fed together outside of church. But we need to encounter God on a regular basis. And that is through spending time with Him. Are you today, would you say, you spend regular time in prayer throughout the week? Do you say you spend regular time in God's living word this week? Would that be yes or would that be no? First, I want to talk about prayer. What's prayer? So, talk with God. Is this prayer? That can be. No, not verb. That can be. Some of us pray. Like, sometimes I like to pray and I get down my knees. I want to feel reverence. I honor Him. So I kneel. Now, no, not like the, oh, you know, I'm not talking about that, but getting down and praying. That's a position of prayer. That's not prayer, right? Prayer's talking to God. Talking about God. Speaking to God. Pouring out in the hard times. Who do we run to? We run to our friends or parents. I did. Right? Certain times you get hurt, the kids go to mama. Who should we go to first? God, this has happened to me. I'm feeling depressed today. You help me out? I don't know why. I need your strength. Father, this person was mean to me, and I know your Bible tells me to not be angry and to forgive. I can't do it. Help, God. It's pouring out Him our everyday walk and say, God, I need your help. I need your grace. I need you. It's talking to God about pouring out His heart, our heart to God. It's coming to Him, asking for help when you need help. There are times that you're struggling in your families and you go to God about it. There's moments when there's sin in your life. And what do you do when there's sin in your life? You go in prayer. You go, God, I do this pretty regularly. I sit there and I spend time, God, forgive me for this. I'll just think of the things that comes to my mind. Lord, I was rude to this person, or I didn't act this way, or I said this. And I just come to Him and I ask Him to cleanse me because His word says if we confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I keep short accounts with God. God, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. If I don't, and I go through a season where I get kind of not focused on Him, man, it's too big of a list. So I try to keep it short. So we take times of confessing. Well, what do I do? Do I take this job? Should I do this, Lord? Should I move into this place? What should I do? I have bills in me. What do I do? Who should we go to? The God of the universe, right? If He loves us and we are His temple, don't you think that He wants to speak to us? Prayer is talking to God. And then there's even times that in prayer, you have no idea what you want to say. Does anyone ever do that? You go in there like, blah, I don't know. Lord, you look at Lord, I know you died for me, you love me, I have no idea what I need. Lord, you know what I need, I just come and I am silent before you. Silence, I think, can become part of prayer. We don't have any idea what we should say, but we take time to be quiet and say, God, what do you want to say to me? And you wait on Him, and God can speak. A still small voice, also an impression, something gentle will come in. You know it's not God when it doesn't come in peace and come in joy into your heart. It comes in condemnation. That's the devil. But when you're sitting there, you learn to be quiet. You allow God to speak. Prayer. Prayer. Can a husband and wife have a meaningful relationship if they only see each other once a week? When my wife and I get in a situation where we're going through harder times and we don't see each other, then our life just gets worse as we go on. Can friendships be built on through silence alone? Well, maybe if you're deaf and you have sign language, it can't. God wants a loving, meaningful relationship with us. God wants us to talk to Him and He wants to speak to us. Are you praying? How does God speak to us? That's the question, right? God wants to speak to me. Why doesn't He just come down and do audible voice? Hey, how you doing? This person, how you doing, Christina? Yeah, here it is. Why? Don't we love that? Some ways, yeah. Moses and them had things like that happen. But God's like, no, I put my spirit inside you. I'm going to do things different. I speak to you. And not that God can't speak to us audibly. We see that in Scripture. But most of the time, He just speaks to our heart. But the problem is we don't recognize the voice. We have all these other voices of ourself and the devil there. That, well, where's God and where's ourself and the devil, right? And there's these battle coming in. What's God in our lives? Does anyone ever struggle with that? What is that God? Is not God? Kind of go back and forth. How does God speak to us? Yes, I believe that God can speak to us when we pray. He can speak to us directly in our heart. I've had stuff like that before, where He just speaks something kind of in my heart about something. It doesn't happen a lot, but He does. He spoke in my heart about Diana. I was reading a passage of God's Word, and all of a sudden God told me in my heart, read, when you're 30 years old, you're going to find the one you're going to spend your life with. I listened, I go, yeah, right. I didn't even believe it. I was probably like Sarah, you know, and Abraham, and she didn't believe. I didn't believe. 30 years old, I met the one I spent my life with. Oh, that was God. Sorry, Lord, I didn't believe you, right? Yet the question is this. He does speak to us, I believe, directly. But the question, how do we know if the voice inside of us is ourselves, God, or the devil? Is that the big question? How do we know? The answer lies in a book that people get intimidated by, God's Word. How do we get to know God? Oh, I feel God's like Santa Claus with a beard. That's me. How do we get to know God? God gave us His Word to know Him. How do we know what's right and wrong? I come to this decision, I come to this, and I want to do this. Oh, God, what do you want me to do? His Word. How do we know what's right and wrong? How do we know what pleases Him? In His Word. How do we make the difficult decisions in our life? Through His Word. How do we experience the riches? Woo-hoo, I want riches. Yeah, send them to me, God. Riches through His Word. How do we discover what your spiritual gift is? Like I said, everyone here is called to the ministry in some way. Pastor Reed, Doug, Bo, teachers, they aren't only ones called to ministry. We're all called for the ministry. How do we discover our gifts? God's Word. The gifts of the Spirit. God wrote this book over 1,500 years ago by over 40 authors for you and I, that we would know Him, know how to live. Yet this is what we do. Well, I can't do it because I get an evil look from Bonnie. I'm almost tempted to destroy my Bible. That's what we do. We literally do that. Maybe not consciously. Oh, it's too confusing. Listen, this is what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. If we believe that, this is what Paul says about God's Word. God, Almighty Creator of the ends of earth. Great God. Don't we do that? It's confusing. I can't understand it. God breathe. God breathe. Why do we not read it? Why do we not spend time in His Word? I'm going to say this. And please don't mind if I'm blunt here. If we aren't spending regular time in God's Word, we will never grow in our Christian walk with God. That's it. If you're happy where you're at, don't read God's Word. The guy told me this week, the guy at a district conference, he was saying this. And he was just kind of surmising and goes, you know what? I really don't know if someone could even be a believer and not read God's Word. If you're a true believer, you hunger and you have to. If you're not, I wonder if you're even saved. That sounds scary. What? Because when we want to know God, we get into His Word. How can we grow healthy in our Christian growth and not get in His Word? If we aren't spending time in God's Word, we will never overcome the areas of sin or addiction in our life. We'll just keep floating along. Keep floating along. Here are some simple ways to look at God's Word, to make it more applicable for us. God's Word is a love letter. You ever received a message or a note from someone you loved? Oh, isn't it great? Oh, honey, I'm thinking about you. I love you. Ooh, yeah. How would God, I wonder how God feels. It's almost like he gave us a love letter, and we leave it unopened. It's too big. I can't do it. We leave it unopened. It's His love letter. As it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, it's my love letter to you. Not only to save you, but to give you the power to live. Are you reading God's love letter? Or what about this? God's Word is a road map. Now, okay, maybe I shouldn't even say maps anymore. Back in my day, you know, I did heat and air conditioning on and off for over 20 years. I'd have this, was it McNally map, and I'd look up this thing, and I mean, it had every address, except a few addresses would be missing, and that'd be the hard one. But you'd look it up, and okay, and you'd have to figure out where to go. Now we have GPS. Maybe you can say God's Word is like GPS. Maybe that's a better illustration for the millennial generation. It guides us. It leads us. I don't know what to do. The sign says stop. I don't want to stop. God's Word is like road signs. It says stop, yield, light says go. We go with that. When we don't, we're in danger. When it says go 30 miles per hour around that corner, and we're like, I don't need to. And we go flying around that corner, and it's slippery, and we go sliding off and go, God, why did you let me do this? Why did this happen? And God's like, my word says right here. But you did it, and now you're mad at me? We get mad at God for our life, yet He gives us the answer right here, how to get it better, how to walk with Him. But we don't read it. We don't have time. His Word is a roadmap. It's GPS. It's road signs. As it says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct your path. He will direct your path through the living Word of God. God's Word is a combination code. Now, maybe they're out of date. When you go in banks, you go in a big vault, maybe they're getting into retina scanners or the fingerprints. I don't know. But the whole time you have to go in there, you know the combination code to get into what? The money. God's Word is a combination code. You want God's riches, He gives you the combination code, and we find it as we read that Word on a consistent basis. He begins to give us the combination code to get into the bank for the riches of God. We've been talking Ephesians, the riches of God's grace. How do we access the riches of God's grace? Combination code. Right here. Combination code. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. Oh, the promises. I love promises. When my dad made me a promise, I'll do this with you this weekend, son. Oh, I'll be with you at the baseball game, son. Yeah, promises. Some of us haven't had promises kept, so we don't maybe understand that when it comes to God. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. We don't know the promises because we don't read God's Word. God's Word is a boat. It's a buoy. We're all drowning in the rivers, in the lakes, in the ocean of sin. And he sends his buoy. He says we could grab onto. Or he sends a boat and we get out and go, he saved me. His word can save us. It is a living word of God. As it says in Psalms 127:7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. God's word is also, is like building a house on the rock. Jesus used that illustration. Don't build your house on the sand. Because if you do, the storm will hit you and you'll fall. There's that old song, and sorry, I don't sing very well. But you know, you guys ever heard that old song? Don't build your house on the sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it might look kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice. You'll have to build your house once more. You got to build your house upon a rock. Jesus. And it kind of goes on, right? The whole thing, I remember sitting out with the kids, and I'd go, and the baby would go, Jesus, build your house on the rock. God's word, it's a rock. We don't build on the rock of God's word. We build on the sand, and we pay the consequences. We get mad with God, and God's like, huh, answer's here. I'm sorry. Because God's not going to be rude enough to interrupt your life and say, okay, oh, but you don't have to worry about this. I'll just take care of it all. No, he wants us to choose him, to walk with him. Matthew 7:24 says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So you see why God's word's important? If Bonnie wasn't here, I need a new Bible anyway. I might want to toss it. As you guys know, the joke with Bonnie, she kind of gave me the evil look if I set it on the floor. She didn't really, but she told me it bothers her because she holds up to God's word as very important. When we don't spend time in God's word, we're like going into a vast desert. Have you ever been to a desert, anybody? Like a real desert? Hey, where did you go? Okay, Sierra, well, I mentioned it's pretty hot there. Okay, you did, yeah. I haven't been to any real, when I grew growing up, my parents used to go to Oregon Coast to Honeyman State Park. That's probably as close as I got. Honeyman State Park. And it was a campground that was tucked right up, and you'd go up to one of the campgrounds, and you'd go up, and it was a sand dunes going, whoosh. I mean, it was cool. You'd look at me, like, wow. And you climb to the top, and you look out, and it'd be a sand dunes going all the way up to the ocean. And we had a blast there. Well, it wasn't that hot there. He's at the Oregon coast, so it's not that hot on the Oregon coast. But when we don't read God's word, it's like going into the Sierra. It's going into a desert with no food and water. We don't spend time with God. The sun is hitting us hot. It's blazing. It's just blazing hot. And the longer we stay in the desert, the more we get thirsty and hungry. And if we don't eat or drink, we will die. That's what happens us in our spiritual life when we don't spend time in God's word. It's like going out into the desert and we're like, oh, I'm fine. And slowly our lips start swelling. We can't see. We see, start hallucinating. We start seeing stuff that's not there. Because we're, oh. That's what happens when we are not in God's word. So no wonder people are walking around like beggars, because really in some way they are, because they've not been going to the river. They have not been drinking from God. So they're walking around hurt and lame because they haven't been going to God. He wants to give it to us. God's word is food and water. As it says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word is living and powerful. See, when we wander in the desert of life, we have access to unlimited food or water, God's word. Or maybe you could look at it this way. When we don't spend time in God's word, we're lost in the desert, we're hungry and thirsty, we're just about ready to die, but you know what happens? God's word is like an oasis in the desert. And so God works in our heart, and what we are, this is what Christians do, as we're, I mean, our mouths are cracked, we're parched, we're thirsty, and we just make it, we're making it through the desert of life, I can't make it anymore, and we come to oasis. And we look, and we see, is this another hallucination? No, it's not. And not only that, Jesus comes out to us again. Hey, son, come. Water. Come, spend time with me. Water. Food. Luscious fruit. And all we do is, oh, I wish I had that. And we look at it kind of like, oh, mesmerized by it. And then eventually, we don't do it. It's like we go back into the desert and we die spiritually. Friends, it's time to stop making excuses. But read? I don't like to read. Boo-hoo, read anyway. But read, I have difficulty reading. I can see that. Some people do have difficulty reading. Well, maybe 30 years ago it wouldn't have been so easy if you had a cassette player. Maybe you didn't have a cassette player. But now you just look up on your phone and there's apps and you can listen to God's Word. So there's no excuse. I can't read very well. Then there's no excuse. You can get God's Word. You can put the John 4 we listened to today, and you can just walk around listening to it or turn it on. You could do that. It's not an excuse. Read, I don't understand the Bible. It's confusing. You know what? I want to answer this. It's only confusing because you don't read it very much. God's Word at first is like reading a foreign language. When I was in Poland, I got this Polish Bible just because my mom was like half Polish. I'm probably quarter Polish. My great-great-grandmother was fully Polish and all that. And so I got this Polish Bible. I can't understand a word of that. When you go to God's Word, it is like a foreign language. But you know what happens? When you begin to read it, as God's Word says, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. If you go there and try to understand this yourself, it is a confusing book. But when you begin to go and begin to pray and spend time in God's, you know what happens? It's almost like there's this film over your eyes, and he slowly, as you begin to read, he goes, oh, that's what that means? Oh, that's not mine. Whatever. And it begins to open our eyes. And love, if that is our car, it's in my jacket. Sometimes it's been going off a couple times once in a while. I don't know why. But what happens, it's like we're blinded a little bit. And when we begin to read God's Word, our natural man can't understand God's Word. It's confusing. It seems like, well, why didn't God speak just clearly in this way? But God chose not to do it that way. He wants us to come to Him as we are. And His Spirit, His temple, opens our eyes. And He begins to say, here, I understand. It's almost like all of a sudden that foreign language goes, blah, 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 and a little section becomes, wow, that's exciting. That's what happens when we read God's Word. But if we go to and we stop because the devil or ourself makes the excuse, I don't have time, I don't read, I can't, I don't like this, I don't get it. Why, God, did you not make it clear? And you know why? If God made it clear, we probably wouldn't read it anyway because we'd want to do other things. But God chooses for some reason to make us to say, hey, I will speak to you when you come to me. I'll give you understanding. If you try your own self to understand, you need me to have the translation. You need me. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop. It is time. If you have the worship team come forward. Do you feel like you're drowning in life? Do you feel overwhelmed with what's coming ahead of you? Do you feel lost? Do you feel like you're bound in addiction? You're bound in sin? Start spending time with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't, do you have a battle ahead of you at first? Because the devil will do everything he can to keep you away from prayer and God's Word, because he knows if you get it, he's finished. Think about it. So when you go and you say, okay, I'm going to have a challenge in just a second. I make that commitment, this challenge. If you take up my challenge, if you have not regularly, even us Christians who walk with God a long time, it's still hard at times in seasons of life. But if you have it and you say, I want to start doing it, man, things may happen to your car. Things may happen at your job. Things may happen in your life. Life will seem to fall apart. Why? Ooh, the devil's riled up and he doesn't like it. But you keep fighting through it. The storm will happen and boom, it'll begin to calm, and you'll go, what? God spoke to me. God spoke to me. I have a challenge for you guys, and this is the challenge. Will you take up the 3-month challenge? I will spend time with God on a regular basis for 3 months and see what God does. I'll read it. If I don't get confused, I'll keep reading it. If I don't understand, I will keep reading it. I'll keep asking God, and I'll keep reading it. Am I asking for every day and you won't make? No, if you miss a day. I miss a day. Or days, it depends on the week. But will you make that commitment and say, I take up the 3-month challenge. I will put God's word to the test. I'll say, yes, I will hold, I will read, I'll pray. If you did that every day, I guarantee you'll start saying, wow, my peace, I have more peace. I have more, I don't get angry as much maybe. I have this happen. God's convicting me. I read the scripture and it jumped out to me. Now, am I going to say everything's going to be perfect after 3 months? No, but you'll begin to see baby steps of change. We won't get baby steps of any change without God's word and prayer. Will you take up that 3-month challenge? I make a commitment, whatever, no excuses. I will commit for 3 months to take up spending time with God for 3 months. Will you take up that challenge? Hey, if you don't have a Bible, let me know. I have a lot of Bibles in my office. I'll give you one. If I don't have one that you like, we'll get some people and we'll buy you one. Don't let that be an excuse you don't have God's word. You have that, you get an app. You get all the translations you want. You take up that challenge. What will you do with God's word? Stop making excuses. Can we just close our eyes? Everyone close our eyes and pray, and I'll hand it off to Doug to close the service. Father, you gave us your word. Forgive us for throwing away your newsletter. Your letter as well, your love letter. Forgive us for throwing and not reading it. Forgive us for making excuses. Forgive us for blaming you for things in our life that could have been prevented if we were spending time with you. And maybe it wouldn't have prevented that certain situation. Maybe it would have been allowed in our life, but you would have given us the strength of God to help us through it. Whatever reason, Lord, stir our hearts to go for him, for you, for Christ. Name, you guys. I'm gonna ask for a response here. If maybe you already spent time, so I'd ask you. If you already spent time, you're welcome to stand up as well. Is there anyone here who says, "I want to make a commitment. I will make a commitment. I'll take up the 3-month challenge to spend regular time with Jesus." Is there anyone who's willing to do that? What I didn't tell you. I'm going to take your picture. Don't worry, I'm not going to post on Facebook. Why am I taking your picture? It's because I'm going to come and see how you're doing. Smile!